Let us open our Bibles again and turn now to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, and we will read just a few verses there, verses 14 through 17, page 1122 of your pew Bibles. So 2 Corinthians 5, starting at verse 14 and then through 17. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. And therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. So far we read from God's holy word. I would also like to read with you from the Confessions of the Reformed Church, Lord's Day 32 in the Heidelberg Catechism. You can find this in your Psalter hymnal, page 887. Page 887. Lord's Day 32, two questions and answers. Since we have been delivered from our misery by grace through Christ, without any merit of our own, why then should we do good works? Because Christ, having redeemed us by his blood, is also renewing us by his Spirit into his image, so that with our whole lives we may show that we are thankful to God for his benefits, and that he may be praised through us, and farther, so that we may be assured of our faith by its fruits, and by our godly living, our neighbors may be won over to Christ. Can those be saved who do not turn to God from their ungrateful and unrepentant ways? By no means. Scripture tells us that no unchaste person, no idolater, adulterer, thief, no covetous person, no drunkard, slanderer, robber, or the like, will inherit the kingdom of God. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, it is Easter today. We celebrate the most miraculous and glorious event in all of history. The Lord Jesus rose from the dead. Even in our sober Protestant liturgy, we splurged on the choir singing this morning, and exuberant flowers trumpet the victory. And then we read the Heidelberg Catechism. Why should we still do good works? Does that fit? Does that fit with Easter? Should we not have put the catechism on hold for a week to focus on the joy of the resurrection before diving into the do's and the don'ts of Christian duty? You see, it's easy to think that way. Doing good works in contrast to Christian joy. But you know, there is no contradiction here. The instruction of good works fits perfectly with the celebration of the resurrection. They belong together. And if you follow what Paul writes in the New Testament, for instance, about Christian living, he puts them together all the time. Good works simply describes the new life that we receive from King Jesus, a life that rests in and begins with his resurrection. And so let us look at that under the theme, New Life from the Risen King. We'll look at three aspects. First, new life in his kingdom, then new life by his Spirit, and finally, new life as his image. You can find those 3 points listed in the bulletin. The resurrection of God's Son crowns his work on the cross. Jesus Christ had presented himself to the Father as the sacrifice for sin, and the Father then approved and receive that sacrifice. He showed that by raising Jesus from the grave. He received the blood of the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. And that we celebrate on Easter. We are reminded of the marvelous work of Jesus, of the righteous one who died on our behalf to set us free and give us life. It is finished in the most glorious way. Not only did Jesus say it is finished, but the Father showed it is truly finished by raising him from the dead. And for that, we are thankful. It moves us to dedicate our lives to the Lord. And we show our gratitude and our dedication to the Lord by living a holy life, a life of good works. And that is what the Catechism points us to in Lord's Day 32. It talks about showing to God how thankful we are. Elsewhere, question and answer 64, the Catechism says rightly, it is impossible for those grafted into Christ by true faith not to produce fruits of gratitude. Because those who know the Lord, those who know their Savior, they want to please Him by doing what is right. And so as Jesus presented Himself to His Father as a sacrifice of sin, so we present ourselves as a living sacrifice to thanksgiving when we do good works for His sake. But that is not the whole picture. And I'm afraid sometimes we leave it at that. We are thankful to God, aren't we? So we do what is right. There's much more. The resurrection does not only conclude the atoning work of Jesus, so that's looking backward. The resurrection also, and especially, is a beginning of a glorious reality. In the same way, our good works are not only gratitude for what has been done, they're also the beginning of and the substance of our glorious new life. The resurrection of Jesus is the most radical event in history. It thoroughly changed both heaven and earth. In heaven, a new king sits on the throne at God's right hand. And so the earth has a new ruler. Paul describes this beautifully in Philippians 2. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Not every knee is bowed to Jesus yet. But you who know him, and you who belong to him, you who are citizens of the heavenly kingdom, won't you gladly bow your knee and submit to him? As the church of Jesus, we have one concern, and one concern only, and that is to live as subjects of this king, to participate as citizens in his kingdom. Everything else flows from there. And if that is not your concern, then you cannot truly claim the title of Christian. And that is why it is not enough to think of good works as random acts of gratitude that we may perform occasionally just to keep God happy. We live for Jesus. Our entire life belongs to him. We thank our lives to him. We are called to live then according to his law, the law of the kingdom, all the time. We are called to a lifestyle of love, and yes, a lifestyle of good works. It won't do to do good works here and there while holding on to a lifestyle against God's law. It won't do to give to the Salvation Army on Christmas, to give a homeless man some food, to come to church on Easter and live the rest of life ignoring Jesus' kingship. It won't do to go to church on Sunday and spend the rest of the week being drunk or unfaithful or abusive or unfair. It won't do to read the Bible and sing hymns, yet to hold on to anger and resentment and greed and arrogance or selfishness or pride. The risen Jesus Christ is now in charge of everything. And if you are part of his kingdom, if you understand that you are part of his kingdom, then you must learn to follow the lifestyle of that kingdom. Famously, Jesus laid this out, that lifestyle, in his Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are who? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, the persecuted. Paul uses very strong language to get this across. He proclaims that believers are people who have died. They have died with Christ. You have died with Christ, he writes to the Christians. You're dead for the world, dead for its sinful patterns, dead for its claims, dead for its attraction, and for its addictive lure. Believers, you see, identify with Jesus Christ on a very deep level. His death means our dying. Dying to whatever belongs to the fallen world, to all that is rebellion against God, all that falls short of His glory. And therefore, Paul in Colossians 3 said, put to death what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk, lies. Dead with Christ means dying for Christ. That is our identity and calling for every day. But then also, believers are people who have been raised along with Christ. They go together. We have a new life that is deeply connected to His new life. The positive principle of our living is therefore to seek the things that are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of the Father. This new life is all about holiness, compassion, kindness, meekness, patience, forgiveness. Those are the things that Paul mentions. In short, this new life is a life of love of God and love of others. So why should we do good works? Not just because we are grateful. Not just because we are citizens of Christ's kingdom, that too. But also because we are now dead for the world and alive in Christ alone. And that is a profound view of our lives. But in 2 Corinthians 5, Paul digs even deeper. He implies that Jesus' resurrection is a cosmic change. Jesus subdued the very principles of our fallen world. In Colossians 2, verse 15, Paul says that Jesus in his death and resurrection disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them. The picture that Paul is painting there is that of a victorious general who comes home from battle in a triumphant parade. And in that parade walk the defeated and humiliated enemies, shackled to a chain. That's how emperors at that time used to do that. Bring home the enemies so they can be put on display. Look who we won, of. And so Jesus' resurrection puts on display his conquest over the powers that drive the world of sin. So there goes the parade. There goes death. Shackled and powerless. There shuffles perversion, bound and fettered. There walk the gods of prestige, of wealth and power, the goddesses of glamour and illicit pleasure. They have lost their power, and the old world can no longer sustain itself because Jesus Christ has defeated and disarmed them. And in their place, Jesus now brings in an entire new creation. Theologians like to use the term, he ushered in a new creation. It is the new reality of his kingdom. And that's not merely something in the life of individual believers, but it is a worldwide reality. Even though millions, billions of people deny it, it is the truth. It is fact. And this new creation is going to be the only reality left after the final return of Christ. So why should we still do good works? Because it is the glorious principle of life in the new creation. It is how people truly live and how people will truly live in the final reality of this world. In His resurrection, Jesus Christ created us anew. As the Bible says, we are His workmanship, created for what? For good works. I hope you get a glimpse of the glory that is here. It's something to meditate on and to grow in understanding and to grow in love for it. From Jesus' resurrection stretches forth a vast new creation that is more glorious than the original paradise. It is a world in which people live in perfect harmony with God. And you, brothers and sisters, are invited to live that life starting now. But then, there's the harsh reality of our weakness and our sinfulness. And maybe you thought, okay, now let's get real. Even as believers, especially as believers, we experience the painful contrast between the glory of Jesus' kingdom and the struggles of everyday living, don't we? One moment we sing, living for Jesus, a life that is true. An hour later, a day later, we have lied to a family member. We have picked on another student. We've been unkind to our spouse. We have looked down on our neighbor. At good times, we say to the Lord, Lord, I will dedicate myself to you alone. But soon our dedication goes to our job, to drink, to sex, to power, to money, to vanity, to all those idols that we have created for ourselves. It happens so often. And the Catechism is so right when it says, even the most holy people in this life have only a beginning of the obedience that God requires of us. Worst of it all is the cycle in which we get stuck. We want to live the kingdom life. We sincerely try to climb out of the mire of sin into a life of good works, and then we slip and we fall. Sometimes a little bit, sometimes we fall deep. Each of us is inclined to selfishness, addicted to sinful patterns, distracted by the old world. Oh, we come in all kinds, in all varieties. But we all have something that pulls us down. For every good work we do, there are so many works undone, so many improper words, so many wicked thoughts, so many unkind actions. How can we live the kingdom life that we desire as those who have been raised with Christ? Is it a matter of strict laws? Is it a matter of harsh discipline? Of separating ourselves from the world? We try. We make rules for ourselves and for our children. Do this, don't do that. Stay away from here. We plan and we organize our good works sometimes. And no doubt some of us could actually profit from a bit more discipline. There are some things you can plan. It's not all wrong. But no routine or discipline that we invent can remove our sinful tendencies and give us the proper mindset. And if you want an example of that, study the monastic movement. All these people who went into monasteries and tried it. Very disciplined. Very dedicated, and there was sin. The Catechism hits the nail on the head when it says in Lord's Day 32, Jesus Christ renews us by His Spirit. We need that. We ourselves are unable to progress in a life of love and good works, but God's Holy Spirit teaches and motivates us. This is the same Spirit that rested on Jesus Christ when He ministered on earth. when he lived a life of holiness and of good works in a world of sin. This is the Spirit that floated on the dark waters before creation and who brought God's creative world to life, and it was very, very good. This is the Spirit by whose power Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. That same Spirit Jesus promised to give to his church, and he fulfilled that promise. This same Spirit was poured out at Pentecost, and even today he fills the church and he fills the believers. He is there with you. He is there for you. That Spirit creates in us a new heart. It creates in us faith. It creates in us good works. It even creates in us the will to do good works. If the powerful Spirit of Jesus' resurrection takes hold of your life, don't you think that he can break through your inertia and your unwillingness and your pride and your addiction, your cycles of sin, and bring it all to, and bring to life all kinds of good, God-honoring activity? Insofar we are idolaters, let the Spirit cut down our idols and our images, so that we may see God for who he is and praise him. Insofar we are rebels, let the Spirit break down our autonomy and our arrogance, so that we may submit to God and to each other in love and in humility. Insofar we are murderers, let the Spirit slay our hatred and our resentment, so that we may show care for others and be a blessing to them in patience and hospitality. Insofar we are adulterers, let the Spirit remove our misplaced lusts and desires, so that we may grow in love and in faithfulness in the relations in which God places us. Insofar we are robbers and thieves, let the Spirit put an end to our greed and our envy and our hoarding, so that we may be content and generous with what we have. Insofar we are liars and cheaters, let the Spirit silence our selfishness, so that we may speak the truth boldly and honestly and bless others in doing so. If we are to do good works in the kingdom of Christ, we must expect all from the Spirit of Christ. That does not mean that we sit back, passively waiting for good works to bubble up in us. Here I am, Holy Spirit, what are you going to do? The Spirit is powerful, but he works in us and through us and with us. And therefore the Bible encourages us in active terms. Negatively, we are not to quench the Spirit, we are not to grieve the Spirit. Positively, we are to walk in step with the Spirit, actively working out our salvation with fear and trembling. Paul instructs us to spend time with each other, speaking the language of the Spirit, that is, speaking in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, giving thanks to God the Father. To the Ephesians, Paul even says, "Do not get drunk with wine, but fill yourselves up with the Spirit." How do you do that? There's a lot to be said about that, and the rest of the catechism is basically about that. But very important is prayer. As the catechism summarizes so well, Lord's Day 44, God will give his grace in his Holy Spirit only to those who continually ask him for those gifts and thank him for them. Our private and public prayer life will reflect itself in personal and communal outward good works. I want to mention one final connection between the resurrection of Jesus and our good works. It's the last but not the least. It's the most glorious one. In fact, it's the main point in Lord's Day 32. A grammar exercise for school children. If you reduce Lord's Day 32 to the heart of that sentence there, the core sentence, what do you get? If you strip away all the additional details, we get this short sentence. Jesus renews us in his image. When it comes to good works, we have a perfect example to look to. Our Lord Jesus himself lived a life of good works. He modeled holiness and grace, hospitality and giving, hope and generosity. When he told his disciples, "Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect," a tall order, he preached what he practiced. And so our calling to do good works is based on a glorious transformation, a transformation that citizens of the kingdom undergo in the power of the Holy Spirit. We are changed, we are being changed to look more and more like Jesus. You can find this described, for instance, at the beginning of Romans 12. Read that for yourself sometime, the first few verses there. You are being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. We are changed to shine in this world as an example of His grace and love. You know how surprised and amazed people were when Jesus walked around on the earth and preached so graciously and healed people and showed so much love? We will be like Him. We are being transformed to be like Him as we live our life in the Spirit and pursue good works. As we have been raised with Christ into a new life, He Himself comes to life in us. In conclusion, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the perfect starting point for a life of good works. And there are 4 points I want to briefly mention in summary for you to take away. First of all, as you live your life, look up to the heavens where Jesus is King. As a citizen of His kingdom, you live your life for Him. And so put into practice the law of the kingdom to which you now belong. 2, the resurrection of Jesus brought into existence a new creation. As a believer, that is where you belong. That is your real life now. So throw out the old and embrace the new life of holiness. Put off the old man, put on the new. And I'm sure you'll hear about that next week. 3, the very Spirit who raised our Lord Jesus has been poured out in the church. Do not ignore Him, but pray for His power. In the strength of the Spirit, you can grow out of the patterns of sin and into a lifestyle of true holiness. And as James says, if anyone thinks he is lacking wisdom to do this, let him pray, and the Lord will give generously and without complaint. And then 4, Jesus Himself is the shining example to follow. His disciples who lived with Him and listened to Him, they saw His glory, the glory as the only Son of the Father, full of grace and mercy. Similar glory is yours as the adopted sons and daughters of the Father, as you are being renewed in His image. So brothers and sisters, remember these things. As you go into another week of living in God's kingdom, may the glory of the risen Lord be visible in your good works. May He shine through you. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, Lord, we pray that You have mercy on us sinners. As we still often are so stuck in this old world. And we thank You, Lord, that we know that You have conquered. That our Lord Jesus has taken captive all the things that make this world sinful and evil. And Lord, we pray that therefore we may be motivated and empowered no longer to live for that world, no longer to live only for ourselves, but to live for You. Give us, Lord, a life of good works. Give us a life of growth and transformation. Give us to be more and more like our Lord Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.